Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's special mini episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. We're on a little bit of a hiatus for the month of January, but we are going to bring you some short mini podcasts each week on a very specific topic, just so we can stay in your lives and stay in your ears. And this week, we're going to be talking about creating your budget for RV travel. So welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you very much. And we'll be back with our full hour-long featured podcast episodes on February 1st. But right now, we're going to dive into a topic that we've talked a lot about on our Facebook group and also on our blog. We also talk about it with people when we're at RV shows. A lot of newbies are really trying to wrap their head around what the cost of RV lifestyle is, right? How much it costs to not only buy a rig, but also use a rig. And this episode is all about the fact that, guess what? Those costs are really in your hands.
They're really totally in your control, and there's such a wide range. So we want to walk through some of the categories of the expenses of buying an RV and RV travel and the RV lifestyle, and just give you an idea of how to budget, how you could plug in your own numbers, because it's mysterious to people just entering the lifestyle. So the first thing is obviously the cost of the RV. Now, new RVs can cost from $6,000 to $300,000, generally speaking, or more. So that's a wide range of prices right there, a lot more than going to buy your first car.
And it's a really important place to think about how much you want to spend. Because just like a car, it can be really easy to get caught up in all the flashy features when you're RV shopping and be like, I need this rig in order to have a good time camping. And the bottom line is that really it's about the experience. It's about the travel. It's about having the bathroom and the kitchen. And all of the bells and whistles honestly fade into the background a little bit once you've been doing it for a while.
And if a new rig starts at around $6,000 for like a really small pop-up camper, you could buy something used from $1,000 to $6,000, really. So the price is whatever you want it to be. And I would say, don't let price get in the way of getting into an RV. You can find something that fits your budget. So Stephanie, you have a little bit of a formula that might help people think about how much RV they should buy and how much they should spend.
Yeah, I really encourage people not to spend more than they would comfortably spend on a non-investment bill monthly, right? So in other words, like we always use that cable bill example. Like a lot of us pay $120, $130 a month on our cable bills. A lot of us spend $200 on our phone bills. Like you need to think, what could I spend and not really feel like I'm overspending in my budget? Almost like maybe your coffee budget per day, something like that, so that the RV doesn't become a financial burden in any way and it doesn't take out of your camping money, right? That's the worst thing. Some people overspend on their RV, and then it takes away from the amount of money they can spend on their vacation. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, obviously cash is king. If you can pay cash, please do, and put the most you can into your down payment. But we're talking about, you know, most of us probably have loans. The other thing to consider, too, is not just that monthly payment and whether it's affordable for you, but also the fact that if you buy an RV and you turn around and sell it in a couple years and you are in a long-term 10 or 12-year loan, that those first few years are largely dedicated to spending to paying off the interest.
Yeah.
And you're going to be underwater. And that's something to think about for your future budget in a couple of years.
Yeah, when we bought Penny the pop-up camper this past year, my budget in my head, it was a strict $1,000 budget. And that was because I knew I could spend $1,000 without really hurting our budget, without stretching our budget. And I also knew that then I could use Penny the pop-up as much or as little as I pleased and not feel stressed about that. In other words, if I only got out maybe in Penny 10 days next year or a few weekends next year, I wouldn't feel like I had wasted money, right? Because it was such a low price point.
All right, now you have a kind of a rule or a guideline here that you can go by that might work for most families in terms of determining how much you should be spending every month on your RV payment.
Yeah, if you're going to be financing, you should definitely think about dividing your total yearly payment by how many nights you plan on traveling as a family. And that's a reasonable number, right? And then in our opinion, this number should be far lower than what you would spend on a hotel vacation or on a vacation home. So, you know, some people are willing to pay more because of all the benefits that you get from RV travel and the comfort of sleeping in your own bed and not showing up at a hotel room at night. But in general, that's a rule of thumb that some people go by.
Well, and I like that too, because we all spend different amounts of money on our family vacations. Some of us have spent lots of money on very elaborate family vacations. Some of us have a tight budget for family vacations. Your RV purchasing budget should be in line with what your normal family vacation budget is, whether that's $1,000 or if it's $10,000, right? You don't want to grossly exceed that. And you probably don't really want to go under it too much either because of how much you're used to traveling and how much you like to take a vacation.
All right. So that's the first place that you can really determine your own comfortable budget is with the cost of the RV itself. Now, another thing that you want to think about is the cost of maintenance as an RV owner. You may say to yourself, well, a towable and a truck payment is this about the same as a motorized payment for me. So I'm going to go with the motorized unit. However, you really need to think past that initial number because the maintenance costs on a motorized unit are going to be higher annually than the maintenance costs on a travel trailer.
The maintenance costs on a new travel trailer that's under warranty are incredibly minimal. I mean, and if you are doing your own winterization, for instance, the maintenance costs might be close to zero.
Right.
If you are having somebody winterized and maybe there's a couple things here and there, I mean, a $500 budget for maintenance on a travel trailer is probably ample. Now, on a motorhome, you're going to need to research that a little bit more because it depends. Are you buying gas? Are you buying diesel? Are you buying new? Are you buying used? A lot of motorhome owners do comment on how there are more sort of hidden costs that take them by surprise in terms of maintenance. Now, obviously, if you don't have a warranty in either situation, towable or motorized, those maintenance costs could go way up depending on how old the unit is, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're saving by buying a used unit, you need to consider having more of a budget for maintenance after the fact.
And again, you can do that same thing. And you can take the number of nights you plan on using it per year, say 20, right? And you take that full maintenance cost, say a projected maintenance cost for your year, and you figure how many, you know, how much am I spending per night? Tack that onto the per night of your payment or your cost and just get a general idea of how much you're going to be spending to actually enjoy this RV.
All right, third, let's talk about traveling, the cost of a campground. And again, you don't have as much control as in the purchase of the RV where you could buy something for $6,000 or $500,000, but you still can control your costs based on where you camp. So if you're going to go to expensive resort-style campgrounds, you need to know that you might be spending $100 a night. If you are on more of a tight camping budget, you may look exclusively at state and county parks where you might be spending $20 to $30 a night. And that can add up to be a huge difference right there, whether you are a state park camper or a private campground camper, a resort campground camper. And your typical private campground is going to be somewhere in between, like maybe $50, $60 a night. So again, you can control thousands of dollars of that spending based on where you camp.
Absolutely. So say you had a total maybe lodging budget of $500 for a trip, and you felt like that's what you could spend on that week-long family vacation. Or what if it was a two-week family vacation? $500. Take that money and think, how do I want to divvy this out? Maybe we could spend three nights at a resort campground like a Jellystone on the way to where we're going or on the way home from where we're going, and we could kind of splurge on maybe a $60 or $70 a night Jellystone stay, and then we stay the next week at a more rustic state park that's costing me $25 a night, and that could work out to your $500 budget. Or you might want to take a shorter vacation and go to a place like the, you know, Coralville Jellystone, which is what a lot of people are like, this is the most expensive place I ever stayed, but it was amazing and I had such a good time.
But again, you have more control than in a hotel vacation, in my opinion, because like, look, Stephanie and I can go to a $20 a night state park, or we can spend $120 at a really nice Jellystone. We won't spend five times more on our typical hotel expense. I mean, we pay $100 to $200 for a hotel room with our family. We're never looking at a $1,000 option.
Yeah.
So there's more of a price range within the camping and RVing world, and I really like that.
Absolutely. When we were looking for a hotel to stay in Seattle for a couple of nights just before we flew out, I mean, we couldn't find anything below $250. And a really nice hotel option was $600. So it was really difficult after going from pricing out campgrounds. It was really difficult to bite the bullet and pay $250 a night for a budget hotel option.
Now, we also need to consider the cost of driving and the cost of gas. This can vary widely. If you have an SUV that gets good MPG and you buy a very light pop-up camper and you camp close to home, that might not be a big part of your budget at all. But if you buy a 7,000-pound toy hauler and have an F-250 like we do and you like to drive 10 or 12 hours to a national park, then that's going to be a significant part of your budget in terms of fuel costs.
Well, yeah, the bottom line, though, is that you can control this cost, both through the rig you buy, right? The more your rig weighs, the more gas you're going to spend. The rig you drive, your truck. But then you also have the ability to plan vacations that are closer to home if you really want to keep that cost down. You can find beautiful state parks that are near you and almost make your, you know, your gas budget a non-consideration for a trip.
If we can find beautiful campgrounds within an hour of our home in New Jersey, you can also, no matter where you live. I mean, there truly are great campgrounds in every state in the country close to home.
Yeah. And if your budget's been tight, like say you took a big vacation and you're like, oh, we don't really have a lot of money left to spend, so maybe we won't use our RV. Think, wait a minute, is there someplace we could just go close to home, not spend any gas money, you know, maybe a state park, keep that campground cost. You could spend the same amount at the campground sometimes if you stay close to home as you just would at home, like, you know, be bopping around.
And I challenge you to think of awesome hotel vacations an hour from where you live. There are more great campground options close to home, I think, because it's about the experience of the campground more than it is about the local area, per se.
All right. So the fifth way that you can really manage your budget when you're RVing is by thinking about the cost of food. Now, this is one of our very favorite ways to sort of manage or save our money while we're traveling, because if we're going to a place that is known for its food, like Charleston, right, or something like that, then we do definitely splurge on our food budget.
I was going to say Myrtle Beach, and that tells you everything you need to know about Stephanie and I.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally thrilled to slum it in Myrtle Beach for great food. And Stephanie's like, no, Charleston,
definitely.
But you can control it. I mean, how much do you spend if we're just using groceries for a week's vacation in the RV?
Right, and that's my point, is that when we haven't eaten out on vacation, I spend virtually the same amount of money on the road using our RV kitchen as we do at home.
So $200
yes,
for the week?
Yes, about $200 for the week. And I can keep it under that at home if we don't do any takeout, but that's unreasonable usually for our lifestyle. Usually there's one or two meals during the week that's either a pizza or something like that. So $200 for the week. But in my argument, if that's the same as I would have spent at home, then I've zeroed out that cost of RV travel.
That's an amazing aspect of RV travel. You can literally spend the same amount on your food budget on a week's vacation as you would on a week at home because you have your own functioning kitchen. If you go on a hotel vacation, you're going to be eating out. We have spent $200 on a single dinner with our three hungry boys at a restaurant. That's
easy.
Not normally what we would spend, but it happens. That could be your budget for the whole week. So you control a lot of costs when you're talking about food and RV vacations.
And you can do anything in between. You can schedule one nice splurge meal out. You can schedule a lunch out instead of a dinner where you're visiting, so you can manage costs there. It's our favorite way to say, hey, what's our budget and how can we make the most out of that budget while we're traveling, all right?
And unless it's a great restaurant, like you said, barbecue in Charleston or whatever, I would rather have you cook
or
I will make breakfast at the campground al fresco outside in nature. It's really an awesome experience.
My boys hate it when we drag them out to restaurants.
So the large point here is
you're in control.
I mean, you need to plug in the numbers to each of these categories based on your budget. And you can kind of like, you can almost start with the number and say, my number for the year is this.
Mm-hmm.
And then just figure out, okay, do I have to do state parks? Do I need to buy a used RV? Okay.
Do I need to stay close to home?
Yeah. Can I do a resort campground? I mean, plug in
Do I need to watch some YouTube videos and figure out how to fix things on my own RV, right? To manage costs. There's so many ways to do it. And, you know, we have taken RV trips that have cost $300 probably for a weekend total camping, you know, near.
I would even
probably
say less.
Yeah. When we camp close to home, we've probably spent $150.
Bucks,
yeah. And we've also taken RV trips that have cost thousands. Hello, Disney.
Right?
So, you know, the budget can be anything and you're in charge. Either way, you can afford RV travel. It's just a matter of figuring out what kind of RV travel you can afford.
And it's good to think about these things in advance and not just willy-nilly purchasing an RV and starting to book campgrounds like crazy. I'm Jeremy. This is Stephanie. Check us out at rvfta.com. We have a brand new redesigned website. We'll also be at the Florida RV Super Show really soon. Check our social media for the times for meet and greets on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and then also hang out, you know, our Facebook group, RVFTA, the group over on Facebook is our closed Facebook group for RVFTA community members, a really friendly place to ask and receive great advice on any questions you may have about the RV lifestyle. All right, guys, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.